And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Oh, thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. And we hope you had a very pleasant week. It was a beautiful day out there, most of the day anyway. And if you have an hour of your time you could spare, please spend it with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. It's very important. So please give us a call with a question or answer at 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to get in. Sometimes it does get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call, we will get you on as soon as possible. I do want to remind you that we'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, that number is 415-841-4134. I also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the known world simply by going to kalw.org. Excuse me. That's kalw.org. If you'd like a podcast of the show, and God willing, it will be available, you can go to kalw.org and they can help you with that. I didn't get any angry emails this week from our listeners saying the podcast was not available from last week, so hopefully that problem has been corrected. And since Debbie's here tonight, I know we'll be done well. So, yes, yeah, she's a modest little thing, so I try to speak up for her. Anyway, so if you do have any trouble with that at all, please send me an email and let me know at mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Okay? So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Because it's a national holiday, Jerry Nachman has taken the day off from playing the fool.
Thank you. Pauline Teichman must conclude she is not very lucky. How else to explain not winning the Mega Million lottery against measly 1 in 175 million odds?
Okay. After learning that Jerry listens to audio cassettes to go to sleep, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, uses the snoring in bed next to him to stay awake.
All right. So that is us, and we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Boy, we're really getting into almost improv here.
It's ripped, yeah. Ripped from today's headlines.
Exactly.
Well, it's the week before Passover. What was the first mass-marketed food item in the United States to include the U in a circle kosher label?
That's a good question.
A logo on its label signifying, secondly, what does the U stand for?
Okay, well, it must be matzah, based on the Passover.
No, it is not.
No, or gefilte fish.
No.
Hmm.
It's not an item connected to the Seder.
In any way. Okay.
The Hormel canned ham?
No, but along those lines.
So, but this is not an item that is traditional at Seder?
No.
Okay. Hmm. All right. But is it considered a Jewish food or ethnic
no,
food?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not at all.
Okay. Not at all. Huh. Hmm. Hard to think about that.
Oh, you said you were close with the ham thing.
So it might be a meat.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a what?
Meat, canned meat.
No.
Of some sort.
Oh, so it's not Spam then. Okay, why don't you read the question once more?
What was the first mass-marketed food item in the United States to include the kosher label on the kosher emblem on its label, which is a U in a circle? And secondly, what does the U actually stand for?
Do you know when this happened, or is that?
I think it was about 1929, I think. This is my memory. I don't have it down. So.
What about salt? Right.
No. It's a specific brand.
That's
a brand name item.
Morton Salt.
Manischewitz?
No. Again, it's not connected to the Passover
okay.
meal.
But it could be a
you would not find this at a Passover meal.
All right. You would
at
not
all?
Find
no.
No.
Oh.
Most Passover meals.
Okay. All right.
So maybe it's something that's not kosher for Passover. Kosher but not kosher for Passover, something with yeast in it.
No.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is John from San Francisco, and I'm calling for Sarah, who is busy in the kitchen. And the U is for the Union of Orthodox Rabbis.
That's correct.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
May I make a, and to make a guess at the first item, was it cottage cheese?
Cottage cheese? No? No?
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And Pauline, why don't you go ahead?
Okay.
Did you want? I'm sorry.
I was just going to give you a clue. It comes in a can, and it's still sold.
Comes in a can.
Widely.
Yeah.
Comes in a can. Okay.
I mean, that doesn't narrow down a whole lot, but it's,
I've never seen that before in the store.
As opposed to cottage cheese.
Like right. Tuna fish.
No.
Okay, well, moving on. So I'm going to give you a list of prizes. Tell me what they're awarded for. So I've got five of them. The Diagram Prize, the Paris Literary Prize, the Sheikh Zayed Book Award, the Spur Award, and the Rita Award. And I will say they all tie into books.
Rita as in R-I-T-A?
Yes.
And the Spur I've heard of, but
just go through the whole list once more.
Okay. The Diagram Prize, the Paris Literary Prize, the Sheikh Zayed Book Award, the Spur Award, and the Rita Award.
Well, the Paris Literary Prize is self-explanatory, right?
Is it?
Well, it's for the best book of the year, let's say, or the...
Is it for the best...
It's comparable to a Pulitzer Prize here.
No. Is it the best children's book?
No.
Oh.
Are any of these to do with children's books?
None.
Okay.
Ah, okay. The Paris Literary Award, it's called?
It's called the Paris Literary Award.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They're all very sort of specific aspects of literature.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. But nothing to do with children's literature?
No, because those are too well known.
Okay. Yeah, but there might be foreign awards for children's literature.
True enough.
But you said none of these are for children's literature?
No.
So, okay. The Spur Award, is that something to do with the best book about an animal or a horse or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Or Roy Rogers? Okay.
Ah, Roy Rogers is closer.
It's cowboy story?
Okay. I'm going to give it to you for that because it's Best Western.
Oh, okay. It's the Spur Award?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. There you go.
By the Western Writers of America.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, wonderful. I was going to make an unlikely attempt to answer the kosher food question by saying rations.
No?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's see here. Two questions. Now one guess each, all right? What is the number one food ordered by American women in restaurants?
According, it's not a food.
You mean
like
a dish?
Salad.
It's a dish.
Yeah. According to the American Restaurant Association.
Hmm. And is it very specific? Like I was going to say salad, but maybe it's a special kind of salad.
No, if you'd said salad, I would have taken it. If it had been salad.
Okay, I didn't say salad.
I know. So what
now
is
it's cottage cheese?
that might be.
What is the number one food ordered by American women in United States restaurants?
French fries.
You're right.
Oh, my gosh.
You're right.
Well, a good friend of mine's wife usually orders just French fries.
My mom orders French fries at every meal.
It's a very sinful item that women are very into.
I can't stand them.
All right. killed that. Let's see, what else have we got? All right. Who is the wealthiest royal woman in the world?
Well, let's go with the obvious, Queen Elizabeth.
No.
Okay.
Who is the wealthiest royal woman in the world? You had your guess.
Okay.
I don't know, the Queen of Dubai or whoever that would be. Someone like that? No, okay.
No.
And it's obviously a Middle Eastern woman?
I'm not going to say.
I think not.
Who is the wealthiest royal woman in the world? All right.
And she's pretty well known.
Yes, quite well known.
Okay, so we would know her by her name, not just...
I think so.
Yeah, okay, okay, so. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and what two non-governmental, and you have to guess both of them, what two non-governmental organizations are the largest landowners in New York City?
Non-governmental.
Right. What two non-governmental organizations are the largest landowners in New York City?
This is a company, right?
Could be a company, yeah. It's conceivable.
Mm-hmm.
But it could not be a company, too. I will tell you, obviously, I said they're organizations and not an individual. So.
Or organizations,
right.
Yeah. Oh.
So what two non-governmental organizations are the largest landowners in New York City?
I don't know. The Rockefeller Foundation?
No.
Right. So the church is one of them.
There are two.
What's the other?
All right.
I don't know.
Think it over. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, cool. Is it the Heinz vegetarian baked beans, the first kosher,
you know? It is. How did you know that? You must have read that somewhere like I did.
Day-to-day calendar, is that what you're using?
Yes. Very good. Heinz vegetarian baked beans, yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to answer one of the other ones, but I forgot what it was. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So it's taken over for the restaurant menu things.
Yeah, you mean the placemats.
Placemats,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your calendar, huh?
Well, they're good, the day-to-day questions.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And next call?
I have to get them from somewhere.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Scanner San Mateo.
Hello.
Got a couple questions.
Okay.
Which two situation comedies were spun off from comedy variety shows?
Mama's Family.
Yeah, what's the other one? Ran for one season, but the episodes were rerun constantly.
The Honeymooners.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's my other question. Jerry might only answer this one. What comedy variety series was the first to do one of its televise one of its shows in color?
Which comedy variety series was the first to televise one of its shows in color?
Yeah.
Comedy variety series.
Yeah. It had a corporate sponsor.
What? Can you give us a year?
Early 50s.
The Milton Berle Show? Texaco?
I'll give you a clue. They're on Sunday night.
Well, you don't mean the Ed Sullivan Show?
No.
I was thinking the Jackie Gleason?
Nope.
The Colgate Comedy Hour?
Yeah.
All
right.
Good.
That was the big show that was on Sunday night other than Ed Sullivan, right?
Right.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. The number to call is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman. Of course, the paperback version as well as the hardcover version of his book right here in our stage tonight, Ed Sullivan's America, is available in all your better bookstores and online. And Pauline Teichman, of course, is a teacher and also a photographer.
Thank you.
She's graced us with her presence tonight. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what do these performers all have in common? Aside from the fact that they're all women. Ethel Merman, Phyllis Diller, Mary Martin, Ginger Rogers, Eve Arden, Pearl Bailey, and Dorothy L'Amour.
Pearl Bailey and Dorothy
L'Amour. What do these performers have in common? Ethel Merman, Phyllis Diller, Mary Martin, Ginger Rogers, Eve Arden, Pearl Bailey, and Dorothy L'Amour.
Well, they all changed their names.
I don't know if they all did. I don't think they... Did they all change their names?
Yes, they all did.
Phyllis Diller, that's her real name. Well, that's her married name.
Well, that's a change.
Well, okay. Mary Martin, that's her real name, I think.
No, it's not.
It isn't?
I don't think her... Martin. Martin's not her last name.
I'm going to check that out.
Okay. So, does this have anything to do with the jobs they had before they were famous?
No.
Because a couple of these people were elevator operators on here.
No. Who were elevator operators?
Dorothy L'Amour, I think, was an elevator operator. And who's the other one?
No, it's not that.
All right. Well, is it something to do with their career?
Yeah.
That they all have in common?
Yeah, not that they were all left-handed or whatever.
All right.
Anything to do with who they were managed by or something like that?
Okay, go through the whole list once more.
Ethel Merman, excuse me, Phyllis Diller, Mary Martin, Ginger Rogers, Eve Arden, Pearl Bailey, and Dorothy L'Amour.
Does it have anything to do with being in a show on Broadway?
No more clues. You've asked me. I gave you two or three clues already. That's enough.
All right.
Apparently not, because we haven't guessed yet.
All right. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter. You there, caller? Hello? Nobody? Sorry, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, what does all those people had in common is they're all women.
That's what I said. Not counting that. Yes,
oh,
that's
okay.
Right. Very good, though.
I have no idea.
Very good. Okay.
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
What do all the following have in common? Turkey, Prussia, and Alice Roosevelt Longworth.
Turkey, Prussia, and Alice Roosevelt Longworth. Is what they have in common, does that deal with Alice Roosevelt Longworth when she was still Alice Roosevelt?
I think so.
Okay.
So,
but in other
I'm
words,
sure.
Before she got married. So, Turkey, Prussia. And we're talking about Turkey, the country?
Yes.
And, well, okay. I know that Prince Henry of Prussia visited the U.S. in, 1905. Does this have anything to do with visiting people from these countries?
No, I'm afraid not.
Okay.
She was very popular with the Kaiser, I believe.
Right.
But, that is not the right way to start.
Okay. Did Alice Roosevelt Longworth visit Prussia and Turkey?
I would imagine she visited Germany, but whether she visited Turkey or not, I have no idea.
Okay. All right. What do they have in common? I'm afraid I don't know, then.
They all gave their name to famous colors.
Oh, so...
Colors? What do you mean?
Turkey red.
Prussian blue.
Yeah.
And what? Longworth? And what? What's
Alice Blue.
Alice Blue gown. Oh, okay. Alice Blue. Okay.
Very good. Good question. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What were those again? Prussia what? I don't know.
Prussian blue.
And what's the other one?
Turkey red.
Turkey red is
Turkey
a color?
Turkey red.
I never heard of that. Have you?
I haven't.
It's not in the big Crayola box that I,
recall. It might be a color that's not used very much anymore.
Yeah, I think
not
so.
Not referred to that way.
That's interesting.
And, Pauline, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Name this well-known French writer who was the grandson of a French nobleman and a Haitian slave.
A what nobleman?
Oh.
French nobleman and a Haitian slave.
Wait a minute. I think I'm...
Very well-known French writer.
Alexandre Dumas?
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh. Good. So
I knew
I'd
heard that.
So I'm going to ask a different one now. Name the fantasy children's novel adapted into a film which explores the concept of immortality and the reasons why it might not be as desirable as it appears to be. So it's the theme of the book and the film.
It's a classic book or just a contemporary new book, kids' book?
It's
50s. It's one about where he discovers the family that can live forever.
Mm-hmm.
They just made it into a movie a couple of years
ago. Very good.
You're certainly right there. Now you just need to give me the title and the author.
Yeah, it'll come to me in a minute. Yeah. Well, one of our listeners will get it, I'm sure. We'll leave that out. Why don't you read the question once more?
Okay. Name the fantasy children's novel adapted into a film which explores the concept of immortality and the reasons why it might not be as desirable as it appears to be.
Right.
So I want the title and the author.
Alexis Bledel was in it, too. Yeah. They made it a couple of times.
Twice, actually. The second one had a bit more, I think, popularity.
Right. Okay.
Think.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. This is John in Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
Yeah. I have a, I hope it's not a guess. I hope it's the answer. Trinity Church, I believe, is a very large property owner.
That is not one of the top two, anyway.
Columbia University.
That is one of the top two.
Okay. Yeah, I think, but I think the relationship there was because Columbia was somehow connected, you know, before the American Revolution, to Trinity Church.
Oh, all right. Well,
and I think that's how. So a lot of the property from the church, which I guess was given by the crown, you know, was the Anglican Church, went to Columbia, and then I guess they took it over at the time of the American Revolution.
Right.
But, yeah. Okay. Good.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Goodbye.
Bye bye. Okay. All right. Now there are six answers to this, but you have to get all six in order for me to give you credit. It's not as hard as you think. I want to know, what are the six most common currency names in the world? Okay? So when I say currency, I'm asking for something like a the Deutschmark, for instance, or the mark. So what are the six most common currency names in the world? In other words, the most widely used. Many countries have the, you know, would use, for instance, the mark was used in different countries. They called it the, you know, the Slovakian mark or something, but it was the...
It's the same word, though. It wouldn't be like a centavo.
Yeah.
And
No.
Or cent.
So what are the six most common currency names in the world? But you have to give me all six.
Oh, I've got five, I think.
Dollar has
no,
to be
No, you have
one.
To give me a list of all six.
Oh, I don't have, I won't even have two.
All right.
A list of six.
I need to think of a six.
I think four out of six should be good for a bell myself.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try.
All right, go ahead.
The dollar, the rupee, the kroner, the euro, the peso, and the pound.
No.
Oh, wow.
So what are the six most common currency names in the world?
You won't say how many of those were right.
I think, Dana, four out of six should be enough for her. That's a tough...
Is that what you think?
That's what I think.
I want all six.
You're the boss. Okay, all right. Stick to it.
All right. For now, I want all six. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. I'm just getting back to you for getting my French fries question. 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. About these names of the women, I know that Phyllis Diller and Eve Arden are both from the Bay Area, but I don't know what the rest of them
are. No, that's not it. You're right, but that's
okay.
Not it.
Uh-huh. All right. I would like to ask you a question that also has to do with French. I'm going to tell you an incident, and you tell me what the name of the person involved was. Mm-hmm. This is a historic incident. Happened, I believe, in the 50s, the Jim Crow era in Birmingham, Alabama. And it involves a young black teenager with her younger sister. And they decided just for fun that they would go into a shoe store speaking only French and see how they got treated. So they did. They were, the older one knew French very well, and the other one sort of faked it, I guess. And they were waited upon very promptly by the white manager and very enthusiastically. Whereas if ordinarily they would be relegated to the back of the store and waited by a black employee. So who do you think that was?
What were they trying to prove, that if they spoke French, they'd get waited on? Is that the idea?
Yeah, if they acted like foreigners.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And what year was this again?
It was probably in the 50s.
And these are names we would know.
Pardon me?
These are both names we would know?
Well, you would know the one and the younger sister. I'm not asking for that.
Okay.
You would know the name of the older one.
Hmm. Was this person, did this person become well known for being married to somebody?
No.
No.
How about one of the students who, you know, broke the color barrier at the Birmingham? Where did it take place?
Birmingham, Alabama. Mm.
This person become known as an actress?
No.
Charlene Hunter?
No.
Okay.
It's not Coretta Scott King, is it?
No.
Okay. Is it? No, I meant you said this person became. I was gonna suggest Barack Obama's mother-in-law.
No.
That's a good guess. Yeah. You mean her mother?
No, not his mother, but
Michelle.
Okay.
Yeah, Michelle's mother. Huh. Okay. Let me think.
I'm trying to think what the person became known for. Why the person's well known.
Yeah. No, we don't know.
Okay. It was Angela Davis.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, good.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I have to thank George for that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Lynn. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
Pretty sure I know the answer to Jerry's question with the list of women because I watch a lot of PBS specials.
Okay.
All those women were dollies.
Oh.
That's right. They all followed Carol Channing on the road or on Broadway.
Yeah.
Good one. Yeah. I didn't think anyone would get that. Yeah. Excellent.
Good job.
I have a question I've been saving for about 6 months because I was waiting to get the three of you in there in a time when I could call.
Wait, but wasn't Betty Grable on that list, too?
She was on the list, too. I just didn't want to... Yeah, you're right.
All right. I'm sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
And Yvonne DiCarlo.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So the answer to this question is three names, an actor, a director, and a writer.
Okay.
And each of the people kind of falls into one of your wheelhouses there, so... Here's how it goes. I'm looking for the name of an actor who voiced thousands of radio characters. That's Jerry's part. And had a bit part in a big screen adaptation of a movie. This is Dana's part. That was directed by a man who's one of his first American-made movies as a director. Was based on a play that was based on a French play by a prolific French playwright who also directed a French version of that same earlier movie.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Well, I'll say Orson Welles is the actor?
Nope.
So go over the whole thing once more.
Okay. The actor voiced thousands of radio characters, had a bit part in a big screen movie, big screen version of a movie. That's Dana's part, and that's also a clue. It was directed, you have to give me the name of the director, directed by a man who one of his first American movies was based on an American play that was based on a French play by a prolific French playwright who also directed a French version of that same earlier movie.
Okay.
So obviously the French playwright is
me. I gathered. Yeah. So I'm trying to come up with all my French playwrights.
Is the actor Paul Frees?
No.
Okay. You're
better known than that, I hope. Yeah.
I'll give you a clue to maybe help you crack the whole thing.
All right.
I said it was a big screen version of a movie.
Right.
Okay, so...
Big screen version of...
Oh, so in other words, it had been done first on television.
Possibly.
Okay. Mm. It could have been done first on television.
Okay. Oh, boy, I don't know.
Over later.
And when you say French play, it could be an older, it doesn't necessarily mean contemporary. It could be somebody like Molière or something of that.
No.
All of this person's plays would have been done in the early 20th century.
Okay, early 20th.
Mid 20th century.
Molière, maybe, huh?
Yeah, well, that strikes him out for sure.
He also wrote a couple books and was also a director. But more for plays.
Not Peter Glenville, is it? No.
No.
Okay. I feel if I can get one of these, then I'll get the others.
Mm-hmm. The radio actor that played up in many parts.
According to that radio actor, over 7,000 parts.
Marvin Miller? He played a lot of parts.
He was more known in later life as an actor, a TV actor, actually.
Did he play one part on radio a lot more than, you know, in a series?
He probably did, but he's better known for his particular roles on TV.
Okay, oh.
Two pretty popular series from the 70s and one from the 80s.
And the French playwright is known for his plays or more as a director?
More of his plays.
So,
but Dana, a big screen movie. That's
well, I could be. Somebody.
Yeah, that's a wide range of stuff. I'm trying to kind of.
It's not Marty.
All right, but you say the actor just had a bit part in the movie.
He had a bit part in that movie. Yeah, he had a supporting role.
Well, that could have been so many people.
I'm still trying to focus on the playwright.
And you say he was
I'll give you the year of the movie so I can get out of here.
All right.
1948.
Oh. Okay. So, 1948. Richard Widmark? Was Richard Widmark the actor?
No. He was not even in the movie.
All right. And 1948... So, let me think. It's not, no. I almost said Hamlet, but it's not Hamlet, is it?
No.
All right, and so it's an American, it's like...
I don't think we're getting close.
Call Northside 777.
You are so close with that. You're so close.
It's Carl Malden, isn't it? No, but it's E.G. Marshall.
No.
Is this like a mystery?
Lee J. Cobb?
No.
He's before that. But E.J. Marshall was a radio actor.
Burt Lancaster's in the movie.
Yeah, he did a lot of roles.
Oh, Brute Force.
No.
Burt Lancaster's in the movie. It's 1948. Kiss the Blood Off My Hands.
Barbara Stanwyck is in the movie.
Oh,
my gosh.
So it's the one where she's being killed. Remember the very famous Agnes Moorehead's...
Sorry, Wrong Number.
Sorry, Wrong Number.
Right.
Agnes Moorehead, yeah. Is that it?
No. Sorry, Wrong Number is the movie. Who's the director?
The director of Sorry, Wrong Number is... I want to say it's like Anatole Litvak or somebody like that.
Anatole Litvak.
Okay.
Oh, very good.
Wow. Okay, so it leaves me, and I'm trying to think, because isn't it somebody who's known for mysteries?
So the actor, we still don't have the actor, though, do we?
No, but you can do it. I'll help Pauline out for a second here.
All right.
Yeah, help me out, so I don't look bad.
The earlier movie that I'm looking at is called Tavarish.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well.
So Tavarish.
A French play written by, called Tavarish, written by this person.
Yeah, no. No. The actor's not Ed Begley, is it, by any chance?
No, but he is in that movie.
Yeah.
All right, I'll wrap it up and get out of here.
All right, go ahead.
The playwright is Jacques Duvall.
Okay.
And the actor is William Conrad.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he was in a bunch of stuff right around that time. So, okay. Thank you. It was a good question.
It was a great question.
I wish we could have done justice to it.
Sometimes it's good to stump you.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, bye now.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're having a good time. We certainly enjoy bringing the show to you. The number to call with a question or answer is 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And we are a little past halfway through the show. Let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
I think mine have been answered.
Mine have not. Okay, so I've still got four prizes out that we're trying to find out what they're for: the Diagram Prize, the Paris Literary Prize, the Sheikh Zayed Book Award, and the Rita Award. And I also need you to name the fantasy children's novel and author. This book was adapted into a film which explores the concept of immortality and the reasons why it might not be as desirable as it appears to be.
Not The Borrowers. It's
no.
But it's all right. Okay. What two non-governmental organizations are the largest landowners in New York City? Actually, I'm just looking for one now because Columbia University was the other. So what two non-governmental organizations are the largest landowners in New York City? And who is the wealthiest royal woman in the world? And what are the six most common currency names in the world? What are the six most common currency names in the world? Okay, and did you ask you a question, Pauline?
I don't think so.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Name this oldest surviving feature-length film, animated film, which predates any Disney films. It's a fabulous film.
It's a predates, and it's an American film?
No.
Oh, it's made by the guy, the filmmaker featured in...
George Méliès.
No, it's not.
In Hugo.
No, he never made a feature.
No, he made shorts.
Okay.
No. So it... Well, I mean...
So it's later than Ashley Méliès's things.
There are versions of Alice in Wonderland, I know, that there was a feature-length version, silent.
No, I actually have this one. It's fabulous.
Is it a silent film?
It is a silent film.
Wizard of Oz.
No.
Well, that was made. That was
there
the
were. It was
film.
Made
yeah.
several times before that.
Did you know that?
I don't.
But that was not an. I don't think they ever did it as an animated film. I mean, and then.
Yeah, you're right. Wasn't yeah.
So this is an animated film, and you're saying it was not. It was not American.
It was not American. It. I can give you the year. That
all
was
right,
1926.
All right. We got that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're there? Yeah, go ahead.
What about Prince Ahmed, 1926?
Absolutely.
What was it?
Really?
Oh, very good.
What was it?
Fabulous, fabulous. I highly recommend it.
I do, too. It's a great film, The Adventures of Prince Ahmed. It's,
yeah. Oh. It's also the color for Turkey is turquoise. Did anyone...
yeah. Very good.
So all three were blue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, they were all blue.
Makes sense.
I think I have seen that, actually. Yes, but it's done in a...
It's done with, like, puppets and stop-motion animation.
But it's, like, puppets on a stick or something, sort of like...
Oh, I thought he was punny about turquoise, but that's correct.
No, that's correct. I think so.
Turquoise is turkey.
Yeah, well...
I think. I don't know.
All right.
Makes sense to me.
Okay. I want to, Debbie, I want to play that now. So, Dave, our old movie buff friend, asked for me to play something from my record of movie stars who you did not ordinarily hear sing or do not ordinarily hear sing. And here's an example. There's a man and a woman singing here. You can give me both of them if you want. I'm more interested in the man. It was a long movie star for a long time, starting in the 40s and then going into the 60s. So this actor was around for a long time, very popular movie star. Again, you can give me the woman as well. She's also a well-known movie star, but the man I'm more interested in. So listen to this.
Ready?
Ready.
Oh, won't you listen, all you people on the southern plain? Oh, won't you listen to our friendly advice?
Quarter after seven, we'll be pulling into paradise.
When you see land, a kind of green and grassy, beneath the moon, bright beyond compare.
When you hear blue jays chirping high and sassy, and catch one sniff of southern cooking hanging on the evening air,
you'll know you're there when you see folks,
good day, good day,
all polite and classy,
and every smile,
hello, how'd you do,
bid you stay and rest,
this way, right here,
get off that plane,
get off that train,
you're in town.
So, I'm going to give you one guess, Jerry.
Great song. I don't have any guesses. She sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't come up with it. What's the year? Can you tell? Sounds like 1929 or something.
No, it's from the 40s.
The 40s?
Yeah, right.
And that's from a movie.
It is from a movie.
He was a big movie star. She was as well.
They were both. They both were.
Did they team up on another film? So?
You know, I don't remember them teaming up in any other movie except, well, yes, I take it back. Maybe one other, but okay. They weren't known as okay. a real team. So, all right.
I can't.
All right, we'll wait on that.
If I heard it another.
So again, I'm looking for the name of the man principally on that. A major movie star for a good 20 years,
but not known for singing.
Definitely not known for singing. And you can give me the woman as well if you know who that is.
Was he a dramatic actor, a comic actor?
Across the board.
TV things. Actor as well?
Not generally.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to recuse you just for now, and then I'll let you guess.
I don't even have a guess.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to bother.
All right.
Save your recusal first.
All right. And the number to join
us. Really
is,
counts. Yeah.
415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on. Hello? Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Great. This is Maynard from Oakland.
Hi, Maynard.
Okay, go ahead. I will have a guess for the currencies.
Okay.
The pound, the dollar, the mark, the dinar, the peso, and the franc?
What's the last one?
The franc?
No. You're partially right, but I can't give you a credit for it.
Okay. I think I know the diagram prize. Is that the strange book title prize? The one
it
for the...
absolutely
yeah,
is.
Good job.
Yes.
Right.
For what? For
good,
what?
So I've got a follow-up question based on that.
For a book title?
Yes, strange book titles. In fact,
oh, okay.
I was going to ask my follow-up question is, what is exactly being referenced in the unfortunately titled book, Cooking with Pooh, which was one of the winners of the Diagram Prize?
Oh, that's nice. Never heard of that one.
All right.
Oh,
thank you, Maynard.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'll try not to make it too long-winded. There's an island called Socotra off the coast of Yemen in the Indian Ocean, which has hundreds of endemic species found nowhere else, including a thing called the dragon's blood tree. It was used to color, to make the color of blood in paintings hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It also gave the reddish cast to some famous wooden objects. You care to guess what they are?
Cross?
Would they be sails by any chance?
Say again?
Would they be sails? I know there
no,
were red...
Several of these wooden objects still survive today, in fact. They fetch a pretty penny.
Oh, wooden objects. I keep thinking of the dowels, the wooden boats that they used to... But I guess that would be too much.
No.
Shall
I just give it to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a Stradivarius violin.
Oh.
Really?
The Red Violin.
Yes, very good. Thank you very much.
You bet. Great
job. Good question. Thanks a lot.
That's great.
Excuse me. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Janusz.
Hi, Janusz.
Dana, your question about the richest royal, did you say a woman?
Yeah, I did say a woman.
Well, the richest royal I know, personally... is the King of Siam, who has $30 billion, the King of Thailand, of course.
No, this is...
Queen Elizabeth has a lot of money, but I don't think she has $30 billion.
No, when I don't want the richest royal. I want the richest royal woman. In other words, somebody who rules...
Oh, that would be Elizabeth.
See, no. That's what I'd always
It's
heard.
Not Elizabeth.
Okay. So let me ask you a geographic question.
Mm-hmm.
What do the following three places have in common? Bruges, Belgium, Marrakesh, Morocco, and Macau, now China.
What do they have in common?
Is it something like line of vin?
Like they're all like French colonies.
No,
I'm thinking they all sit on the same line of something.
Yeah. Or are they on the same latitude?
Morocco
has never. Well, Morocco was French.
No, they couldn't be on the same. Bruges
and Morocco
could not be on the same latitude.
No.
Okay, Macau, Bruges, and. Oh, I'm sorry, what was the second one again?
Bruges,
Marrakesh.
Marrakesh.
And Macau. But I will give you a. Both a hint and a sort of concession.
All right.
In Marrakesh, not the whole city, but only the Medina would count.
Altitude?
No.
No, there's...
You know, but the Medina is the marketplace.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Bruges, the whole city, Macau, the whole city, and the Medina of Marrakesh.
So they're built on some sort of a plan.
Nope.
Good to see.
No.
Can tell I've never been to Marrakesh.
No. I'm sorry.
Give up?
I give up.
Well, they are in common. I've been to all three. No, they are World Heritage sites, all three.
Oh.
All right?
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. I've been to Bruges. I haven't been to the others.
That's the only one I've been to.
Mm-hmm. And, Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what three major historical events all occurred in April?
Well, many, many historical events have occurred in April.
Well,
I mean, the end of the Civil War, the sinking of the Titanic.
That's one. These are American events. That's two.
What was that one?
San Francisco earthquake.
Okay. Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, all in the same week, almost. Well, I mean, so you're looking for specifically American things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lincoln's assassination.
That's it. You got them all. Yeah. Very good. Excellent.
All right.
Okay, I'll ask something more harder.
More harder?
More harder, yeah. Okay. This may be not more harder,
she's
but
a
I'll
teacher,
try. Yeah. What prominent politician said, quote, all the president is a glorified public relations man who spends his time flattering, kissing, and kicking people to get them to do what they are supposed to do anyway.
All right. And what was the...
Prominent politician.
Prominent politician. And somebody still around?
No, not telling you.
All right. Well, there are a lot of prominent politicians.
Yeah. Okay, he's not still around. I'll give you that.
All right.
He or she is not still around.
Okay. So now we have to think about...
So we know it's a he because his first response was...
I didn't say it was a he.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Karen.
So your question about currency...
Yes.
Do you mean used by the most people or used by the most separate countries?
Used by the most separate countries.
Okay. We'll take a run at it, but I don't think we have those. So dollar, euro, peso, real, ruble, and yuan.
No.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
So I have a list of fictional fraternities from TV shows.
Hmm.
And these are fraternal organizations of various sorts.
Oh, okay.
And it's a pretty long list, but I'll just give you some whose names I'm charmed by.
All right.
The Brooklyn Patriots. Do you know what show the Brooklyn Patriots appeared in?
So these are all television shows?
Yes, they're all television shows of various eras.
The Brooklyn Patriots. Brooklyn Patriots. What kind of show was this?
A humorous show.
Give us all of them, though.
All right, go ahead. Give us a couple more.
The Glorious Guardians of Good. The International Possum Brotherhood, which I love because their motto in Latin translated to "When all else fails, play dead." The Kings of Queens. No relation to the show, The King of Queens. The Raccoons.
Well, that's the easy one.
Order
yes.
ones till for another show.
Well, the Raccoons is, of course, the Honeymooners, right?
You've got that one.
Right.
That's the easy one. Yeah, I don't watch enough sitcoms, so.
So we have the Glorious Guardians of Good, the Kings of Queens, and the Brooklyn Patriots.
The Kings of Queens would that be in like, Happy Days?
No, because it. It takes place in Queens, right? The show?
Presumably.
Well, then that might be All in the Family?
In New York.
All in the Family?
No.
Kings of Queens.
Oh, yes, All in the Family. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh. Archie Bunker was a member of the Kings of Queens.
Okay.
All right.
So the Glorious Guardians of Good. Oh, and the, can't forget about the
International
Possum.
Possum.
The International Possum Brotherhood. Possums. That one's from a show I've never heard of, but I...
Possum.
The premise.
If you gave us somebody on the shows, would I give it away? Or maybe you don't know. I don't know.
The person on the Possum Brotherhood is the title person in the show. The Glorious Guardians of Good is married to the title person of the show with the same last name. And the Brooklyn Patriots, the person is the title person in the show. So
doesn't help me at all.
No. I can tell you that Jackie Gleason was in the show with the Brooklyn Patriots.
Oh.
So he's coming up a lot tonight.
You mean another show other than The Honeymooners?
Greg Malaby was in the show with the Glorious Guardians of Good.
I know who he is.
Steve Smith was in the show with the International Possum Brotherhood.
Who was?
Steve Smith.
Shoot.
Again,
these are too obscure.
Yeah, it's pretty
obscure.
It's a good question. I wish we were doing better with it. Gosh, Greg Malaby. Wait a minute. Well, that wasn't Mary Hartman, was it?
It was.
Okay.
Oh, great.
I remember. All right.
Good work.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Brooklyn one, the Brooklyn Patriots. Is that the one you said, Jackie Gleason?
The Brooklyn one, yes. Jackie Gleason and William Bendix.
Oh, so the Life of Riley.
Life of Riley.
I thought that took place in California for some reason.
No.
Really?
No.
But he worked at an aircraft factory.
In California, but they were members of the Brooklyn Patriots.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it did. It was an aircraft factory.
The last one is the one that's obscure to me, at least. International Possum Brotherhood.
All right.
All Else Fails, Play Dead.
Phil, fill us in on that.
The show was called Red Green.
Never even
heard
of it.
The title character was named Red Green.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you all.
Good job. Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Oh, hi, good evening. I wanted to guess about the richest royal woman. Would that be the Duchess of Alba?
That's a very good guess, but no.
Okay, and then just one other to the list of important American events in April was the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere on April 18th.
Oh, of course.
Good job.
Very good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ed. How are you?
Hey, Ed, good.
Very good. So last week was the airplane news, AM or FM, use AM, because they can't use FM, because it's FM grab wave, which means it's a strong station takes over.
Right.
Okay, this week, you know, you can make silk out of spiders, not just silkworms, and it is much stronger and prettier. But why don't we have farms of spider to make spider silk?
We can't train them the way we can silkworms.
No, actually, there was this wonderful, beautiful yellow silk thing that was made. It took like millions of spiders. It's gorgeous.
Right, but why can't we have the spider farms?
No, I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you the answer because you're only short of time.
Yes.
Because spiders eat one another because they cannibals.
Oh.
There we go. Right. She had it.
They cannibals.
Very good. I didn't know that.
Okay, for next week, I'd like to know, there's only one dog that does not have pink tongue.
Oh, that's the Japanese. It's the...
Sharpei?
Does
not have a what?
It's Akita?
It's a Japanese dog.
Is it the Akita?
No.
No, it's the... it's a Chinese dog. I take it back. It's not Japanese. It's the Chinese fighting dog.
Chow?
Chow.
Chow it is.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
What's a dog that can't bark? There's one dog...
Basenji.
Oh, right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes, the world's wealthiest royal. Would that be the Queen of Holland?
It would be the Queen of Holland, Queen Beatrix. Yes, very good.
Wilhelmina was the wealthiest woman in the world for many years, Queen Wilhelmina. And as far as currency, lira.
No.
Oh, yes. Turkish lira and Italian lira.
No longer Italian.
Italian lira and Turkish lira.
Okay. All right.
Really?
All right.
I live in Turkey part of the year, so I know lira.
But the lira is not used in Italy anymore.
Sorry?
No, it's the euro that's used now. But he's saying that a few other countries use it as well.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. What are the six most common currency names in the world? In other words,
that was my mistake. I'm thinking of Italy and so on.
Oh.
Okay, but Turkey is the lira.
All right.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like the title to the movie released in 1969. I'll give you the actors and actresses. actors Jack Lemmon, Catherine Deneuve.
Oh, the April Fools.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Knock that one out of the park.
Yeah, well, that's right up his alley.
Thanks a lot. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is that me?
It is you.
Okay, there was a question about a politician who was conning and kicking people.
Well, he said all the president is a glorified public relations man who spends his time flattering, kicking and kissing people to get them to do what they're supposed to do anyway.
I believe that to be Truman. He made a statement. I read a statement.
That's correct. It is Truman.
Like
it is Truman. Very good.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. For the singing actor, was that Alan Ladd?
It was Alan Ladd.
Oh.
I'm glad you got that. And do you remember, did you know who the woman was by any chance?
I did not know that.
The woman was Dorothy L'Amour.
Oh, it was. Oh.
And do you know what movie it was from?
I didn't know that either.
Okay.
Only you know that, I'm sure.
The movie was an all-star thing called Variety Girl, 1947. But yes, great, you got that.
He has a great voice.
And what Orson Welles directed movie did Alan Ladd make a brief appearance in?
He was in Citizen Kane.
Yep.
He was one of the reporters in the newsreel section.
Yep. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's amazing. He never sang in any other movies, huh?
No, I don't think so. All right. We better clean up here. What do we got?
I'm all clean.
All right.
Okay. The Paris Literary Prize is for a novella by an unpublished author. The Sheikh Zayed Book Award recognizes significant cultural achievements to Arabic culture. And the Rita Award is given annually by Romance Writers of America to recognize the best romance. The fantasy children's novel is Tuck Everlasting by Natalie Babbitt. And I think that's all I have out.
I was going to say the best book about Rita Hayworth, but I guess there's not too many of those. Okay, the six most common currency names in the world are dollar, franc, pound, dinar, peso, and rupee. Rupee.
Okay.
And
not the euro.
Not the euro. Let's see. Did I forget anything here? Okay. Oh yeah, the two non-governmental organizations are the largest landowners in New York City. We got the Columbia University. The other is the Catholic Church. I think you said the church.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Didn't you?
Indeed.
And Queen Beatrix of Holland of the Netherlands is the wealthiest royal woman in the world. Okay, if we did not get
did we get what the kosher item was?
Yeah, it was the bacon.
Yeah,
it was the beans.
Heinz vegetarian beans.
Oh, okay.
Vegetarian
beans.
If we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. So we appreciate you listening to the show. We appreciate you calling in. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Debbie Kennedy for handling everything that we didn't do here in the studio. So thanks, everybody. And we will be online, hopefully, the podcast. So have a great week. Please join us next Sunday at 7. I think Joshua Cosman's going to be here then. So bye-bye.